We've been in 1 Corinthians. We've been going through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, looking at spiritual gifts. Now, what we're going to do, since we're looking at the different gifts, we want to turn to Romans chapter 12. That's where we'll start tonight. We're continuing our study, really, of 1 Corinthians, and we've been looking at spiritual gifts. And what we did is when we came to chapters 12, 13, 14, we stopped going verse by verse, and we started looking at the 18 spiritual gifts found in the New Testament, studying each one, one by one. Our goal, of course, is this, to understand the gifts and how they function as we look through them. Second, know our own spiritual gifts. That's a goal, that you know what your gifts are, and then exercise our gifts within the body. And that's really a key. So as we study, we say, okay, these are the gifts. Here's the gifts that I have, the gift or gifts that I have, and then this is how I want to use them. Well, this evening, we're going to continue. We're going to look at three more gifts. We're going to look at the gift of helps, teaching, and exhortation. And the goal is to understand the gifts, how they function. We gave this handout last time or the last three or four times. If you didn't get it tonight, you can get it afterwards, because you don't have to have it while we're going through it. But what it does is shows how we broke down the gifts, and then we list the 18 different gifts, and that's what we're doing. We're going through each one of those at a time. So we'll see them. So tonight helps, teaching, exhortation. We want to understand the gifts, see how they function, and then make application in our lives as each one of us use the gifts that God has given to us within the body of Christ. So let's start with a prayer. And then we'll get into the passage and see how all this fits. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great night. Thank you for that song and the other songs that we sang as well, Lord. And we just want to think about coming to you and lifting up our voices in praise and adoration. Thank you for a great day. Thank you for your love and grace and mercy to us in Jesus Christ. And Lord, thank you for the Bible, how perfect it is, and that it is the Word of God, and that it is alive and powerful, and it never comes back void and always accomplishes the purposes. It is the truth. It is profitable for us. And so, Lord, in every aspect, we want to know the Word and live it out. So, Lord, I just ask you that you would teach us, that as we think about spiritual gifts, that each one in this room would not only know the gifts, know what gifts they have, and then use their gifts to serve within the body of Christ. Thank you for that, Lord. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've told this story before, but it is so impressive. 1992 Summer Olympic Games. Of course, I love the Olympics. I used to sit back and I'd say, okay, 1920, and I would just go through whenever one of the Olympics were, because I've always loved the stuff. And there's a new book coming out about Jesse Owens and the Berlin Olympics. So I'm going to get that book and read it. I've just always loved that. In 1992. There was an event that happened that was just incredible. There was a runner from Great Britain. He was competing in the semifinals of the 200 meters. You know, that's where you just run around that track fast as you can, 200 meters, halfway around the track, basically. And they said that he had experienced some soreness in his leg in the previous race, but he thought, I'm pretty much okay. Well, he's rounded the curve. He pulled his hamstring. Most of you know that's the muscle right in the back. And when he pulled it, he was running, of course, so fast that when he pulled it, he just fell down. He fell on the track. And of course, everybody just keeps on running, and he didn't make it, of course. And he got up, and as he started to run toward the finish line, everybody already crossed the line, and he was still like at the top of the curve. And of course, everybody was kind of gasping, what's happening? And he started hobbling down the track, and suddenly a man jumped out of the stands and onto the track. And it was pretty hard to do in the Olympics because they got all kind of stuff. And he just jumped right through there, and it was his father. It was the guy's father, and he came down, and he got up under sun, and he got him like this. And they together hobbled down the track and crossed the finish line together. And I mean, the ovation from the stands was wild. People were clapping and cheering. And later, the runner said that he had made it to the Olympics, and his goal was to at least finish the race. And his father said, I was going to make sure my son got to finish that race. He came alongside to help. And I think if you think about what many of us know about the Bible, that's a perfect picture of the whole idea of exhortation. It's a perfect picture of the spiritual gift of exhortation. It's someone who comes alongside to help someone else. And that's what exhortation is, to help, to aid, to assist, to encourage. This evening, one of the gifts we'll look at is the gift of encouragement or exhortation. And many of you in this church, you have that gift. You come alongside to help, you encourage others, you help others keep going, you help them make it when they really can't make it by themselves. And that's what it's all about. And so we're going to see that as we begin. Remember the handout that we gave you, all the list of the 18 gifts. What we decided to do is we divided the gifts into two big groups, temporary gifts and permanent gifts. Now, temporary gifts are gifts that were used to establish the church. We saw those. They were the sign gifts. They were those gifts that were given to authenticate the message and the messenger. They were given to establish the church. And so they were temporary gifts. Then we looked at permanent gifts. These are gifts that are used throughout the history of the church. Now, as you say, as you know, now. Some people don't hold to it this way. They think all of the gifts are today. Some people think none of the gifts are today. I think some were temporary that were used to establish the church at the very beginning until the canon of Scripture was completed. And then there are permanent gifts that are used throughout the history of the church. We spent a number of Sundays going through this as we were going through 1 Corinthians. When we got to chapters 12, 13, and 14, we said, look, this deals with gifts in chapters 12, 13, and 14. Let's really look at the gifts in more detail, and then we can make application as we go through it. Then we'll come back and finish going verse by verse. And so we've been doing that. The permanent gifts are the ones that each one of us in this room have, and you want to look at them, you want to look at them carefully, you want to review the gifts, understand the gifts, and then use the gifts that you have. It's exciting as you realize that God has equipped each one of you in this room to serve Him. And in this uniqueness and specialness about it, the ability to serve within the body of Christ. As we review for just a minute, we saw two gifts last time. We saw the gift of evangelism, or the evangelist. It was the ability to clearly present the gospel and their results. That's what it was. It was the person that they love to share their faith. They love that and when they do, they're clear and people understand it and people trust Christ. There are people who have the gift of evangelism, but one of the great things about it, all of us are due to the work of an evangelist, which means we're to share our faith. But some people, they just love it. They're gifted in that. That's their spiritual gift. They can hardly wait to do it. Like some of you like to teach, or some of you like to do something else. They love to share their faith. And there are some of you in this room who may have the gift of evangelism. And you say, you know, it's just natural to me. I love it. I can hardly wait to talk to somebody. I mean, in fact, I'm looking for opportunities. There are others who are saying, I'm not looking for any opportunity. I'm scared. And these people are just going, I can hardly wait to do it. And so bottom line, we're all to share our faith, but some people have that gift. The second gift we talked about last time was the gift of pastor teacher. That's one who is an elder with this gift. He is the elder who does the public teaching. I think one of my gifts, I think I have two gifts. I think I have pastor teacher and teaching. And one who, this is the person who is an elder within the body in a local church, and that he has the gift of teaching. He's the pastor teacher, the elder teacher. This is a spiritual gift. There is an office of elder. This is not an office. This is a gift. This person shepherds the flock, feeds and protects, teaches the word. And what basically a lot of people would say, well, the person with this spiritual gift is usually like the pastor of the church. And that's how it fits together. Now, let's continue. And we're going to see some more gifts. In fact, three more. We're going to see the gift of service or help. Sometimes it's called service. Sometimes it's helps. Then teaching and then exhortation. Sometimes it's called the gift of encouragement. Sometimes it's called exhortation. Now, what we want to look at it in your Romans chapter 12. We want to look at verse 7 and 8. And you see these. Now, there are a lot of gifts listed there, but he lists these three that we're going to look at tonight. And look at Romans 12, verse 7. He said, if you have service, that's the gift of helps, then in serving, or if you have the gift of teaching, he who teaches in his teaching, that's teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation. That's the three gifts that are listed. Now, he doesn't explain them. He doesn't tell exactly what they are. He says this, though, if you got the gift of service, then serve. If you got the gift of teaching, or teaching, being a teacher, then teach. If you exhort, then exhortation, do it. So he basically is telling you, whatever gifts you have, you use those gifts. And I think it's a sad thing when a person who knows Christ as Savior has gifts, a gift, spiritual gift, or gifts, and that they're not functioning within the body. They're not serving. And let's be real, let's just say it. You know, most believers don't use their gifts. Most people don't serve. I mean, the ministry is done by a small group of people in a local body, and that's the sad thing about it. Every one of us in this room, if I said to you, where are you serving in this body? What ministries are you connected with? What are your gifts, and how are you serving? A lot of us would say, well, I don't even know. I don't know exactly what my gifts are, and I'm not really serving. I think my gift might be this, but right now I'm not doing this. We all should. Whatever gifts, talents, and abilities that we have, especially these spiritual gifts, we should do that. Paul encourages the believers to use the gifts. Let's start with the first one, and that's service and helps. And he says, if in service, then serve. It's often misunderstood. In fact, this gift, the gift of helps, that's the way a lot of people say it. Some people think this is not important at all. They say, well, it's just a servant attitude. It's just the person who wants to help. Bottom line, it's the helper serve. It's one who takes the time to serve others, to minister, serve within the body of Christ. And this gift usually, oftentimes, takes place behind the scenes. It's a desire to help, but it's usually not a person who wants to be up front. A person who has the gift of helps usually doesn't want it announced that they did what they did. You know, it's like the person says, I'd like to bring up Joe. He's the one that set up all these chairs. Joe would say, don't bring me up there. I don't care. I just want to set up chairs. I don't want people knowing what I've done. This person with this gift has the capacity to serve, usually behind the scenes. They can serve in any area. The word, in fact, if you look in Romans 12 verse 7, it says, in service, in his serving, it's the word diaconus, which we get the word deacon from. It's the one who ministers to other. This person is just there, and they're always helping. And we know people. You know people like that in the church. You turn around, and they're always doing something. You look back, and they've already fixed this. And you go, hey, thank you for doing that. Oh, yeah, I love it. Thank you. And that's what they do. They're not being asked necessarily. They're not begged to do it. They have the desire, and they are there. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, don't turn there, it is translated helps. In Romans, it is translated service. It means to be assistance to help another. These are the people that have the spiritual gifts, that are the gift, that do so many of the things that people don't see. Think about this. Who cuts the grass? Who sets up the chairs? Who cuts that big field? Who sets up the sound system? Who copies the tape? Who puts information on the bulletin boards and works in the nursery and cleans the kitchen and makes the coffee and gets everything ready for the fellowship suppers and makes cookies for BK? Who does all this stuff? There's just tons of people in this church with the gift of helps that is just there doing things. You turn around and there they are. And you say, thank you. And they go, oh, I love it. On and on. Thousands of things that are done in a local church every day, every week, that are done by people who have this gift, who have the spiritual gift of helps or service, and they do it, and they love to do it, and they want to do it. I think that they are the backbone of the church and ministry as a whole. Because let's face it, a person who has the gift of teaching can teach, and there are only certain places you can teach. But the person who has the gift of helps can serve in any place at any time. That's the backbone. There are so many things that happen in a local ministry, in a local church, and there are people that are there and they do it. Some people say, I don't know what my gift is. Well, I guess if I don't know what to do, I guess I can at least help. See, some view it as the consolation prize. Well, if you don't have anything else, just help. You know, and it's not the consolation prize. Remember, all gifts are important, whether they're up front or behind the scenes. All gifts are vital. There are no gifts that are better than other gifts. All the gifts within the body of Christ are vital, and the church cannot function without them. This is the ministry in the church that I said a while ago is the backbone. And it covers all ministry. It keeps all ministries, keeps things going. Look at your life. You have the gift of helps. I mean, you'll have it. You know it if you got it, because you say, yeah, I love to do stuff. I love to get there early and help them or do this, or, you know, I just want to know what to do. And I mean, there are people who'll show up and say, what about, and you look there and something's done that you are going to think, how are we going to get that done? And they've already done it. They're always helping. Do you have the gift of helps? Find a place and serve. Doesn't matter what it is. For you with the gift of helps, all that you care about is that you get to do something. And by the grace of God, that you're in this body and God can use you to help other people and to help the local body grow and to serve. And this ministry, your ministry, has a huge impact. There are upfront gifts that people see, and we talked about them last week because we talked about pastor, teachers, an upfront gift, and evangelist is an upfront gift, and teaching is an upfront gift. And a lot of times people see those gifts and they think they're really important. Well, they're all important. Every gift's important. You know, the guy who teaches is no more important than the person who helps. So whatever your gifts are, but if you have the gift of helps, I thank God for you. And you should be excited and say, I just want to go wherever God wants me to go. I just want to do whatever God wants me to do. And just be faithful to serve him in that way. There's a next gift we want to look at, and that's the gift of teaching. He says, the one who teaches in his teaching. He says, if you're going to serve, serve by teaching. This person has the ability to communicate clearly God's truth and to make application. The gift of teaching. This is a person that when they teach, people as a whole understand. They go, I get that. That's the first time I've ever seen how that fits. You mean that's how that fits? And by the grace of God, I think I have the gift of teaching. Well, I know I have the gift of teaching. And I have the gift of teaching. I think I have pastor teaching. I think that's how they fit together, and I get to be the pastor and do the teaching. And as you know, this is a gift where people love to study, love to teach, love to communicate it, and I identify with this one. And there are others in this room, there are many in this church that have the gift of teaching. And if you have the gift of teaching, you need to be teaching. Because there's nothing worse than somebody teaching who doesn't have the gift of teaching. We all know that. We're all saying, they're such a nice person, but they're killing us, right? They are. And what you want is when it's a Sunday school class or a service or some other thing or a Bible study, you want the person that is teaching to have the gift of teaching. Because it really makes it become alive, and it's a lot more fun, and that's the key. There are two keys connected with this gift. Two things. Number one, there's the desire to study, and number two, the desire to communicate. The person who has the gift of teaching, I think there's the next slide, is they desire to study. This person loves to dig the Word. If a person says to you, I think I have the gift of teaching, and you say you really love to dig it, and they go, well, not that much. They don't have the gift of teaching. The gift of teaching is a person that says, I want to get into it. I want to study it. I want to look at it in the original language. If I can, I mean, they want to dig it. They want to see how it fits together. And you know, before you know it, they're saying, now, you know, I found this over here and this over here. See how this fits? Because they love to dig it. They want to dig the Bible. 2 Timothy 2 talks about study, you know, the famous Awana passage, study to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. They love to dig the Bible. And put it together and say, okay, and you know, when they study, they're thinking already how they can tell somebody else how this fits. They look at it and they go, now that's good stuff. We need to know that. And they put it down. That's what they do. The people who love, who have the gift of teaching, desire to study. They also have the desire to communicate. They want to share it with others. Paul spent a year and a half in Corinth teaching and all these other places. And you could see him. He'd go from place to place and teach. Ezra said, I purposed in my heart that I would study the law of the Lord and I would live it out and I would teach it. That's what he desired to do. That's what he wanted to do. To know the Bible, to apply the Bible, and to pass it on. All believers are to know the Scripture and help teach other people. It's true. That's what discipleship is, that you evangelism and training. You know this Word. You share your faith. You then train and equip people to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. All of us are to do that. Every one of us in this room, all of us should have groups or one-on-one where we're helping people understand the Scripture. But the person who has the gift of teaching, it comes natural to them in that sense. They love to study it. I'll tell y'all, when I look at a passage and I start studying it, all of a sudden I just go, okay, there's there. Okay, there's there. I mean, like this morning when I looked at that passage weeks ago, I said, okay, here's the four things. Love those who are your enemies. Do this to this. Then there's three illustrations. I see there's one. There's two. I see how that fits. And then here's what happened. And see, you see it, how it fits. And so if you have the gift of teaching, you know what I'm talking about. You study the Bible and all of a sudden you go, wow, here's three really good things that this is saying. So they desire to study it, but they also have a desire to communicate it. They can hardly wait to teach. Now today, I taught first service, then I taught Sunday school, then I taught second service, then I taught three times this afternoon at membership training, and now I'm teaching tonight. Now my voice is just a little tired, but am I burned out on teaching? The answer is no. If you said, could you do one more? Well, I think I can. I can do one more. Let's go do another one, you know. Freddie was kidding with me before the service. He said, Freddie, are you teached out? I said, no, I got at least one more teaching thing. I'm not teached out. The thing is that I may get tired, but I will never get burned out on teaching. And if you have the gift of helps, you're never going to burn out helping. If you have the gift of evangelism, you're never going to get burned out evangelizing. Whatever your gifts are, you will never be burned out. You will desire it. You can hardly wait to do it. That's why if you have somebody who's teaching, and they come up to you and they said, you know, I've been teaching for the last 6 weeks. I'd like a break. They don't have the gift of teaching. We don't ever want a break. And we might say, I'm going on vacation. I'll be gone for a Sunday or two Sundays. But you're anxious to get back to teach if you have the gift of teaching. So all of us in this room are to communicate the truth of God's word to other people, but some have the gift of teaching. I think of somebody like Howard Hendricks. Before I went to Dallas Seminary and I would read books, there was this man named Howard Hendricks. And mostly you'd listen to tapes because at that time he'd only written two different books. And one was called Heaven Help the Home and something else. And I was a single guy and I said, I'm not kind of into the heaven helping the home right now. So I won't read that. But anyway, you could hear Prof teach. And when he taught, you'd go, Whoa, that's good stuff. What did he come up with that? That's good stuff, you know. And John Hanna, when I was at Dallas Seminary, he taught history. And most people, you go, history, this is so fun, you know. And he would start teaching, you'd go, is that how that fits? Is that who those people were? So all believers should be able to communicate the Word of God to others. But there are some who are gifted and others learn and even desire to learn. 1 Peter 4:11, he says, if you're going to speak, listen to this, if you're going to speak, speak the word of God. Now, I think it is vital that people with the gift of teaching teach the scripture. There are a lot of people who talk about the Bible. There are not very many people who teach the Bible. And I think the goal is to teach the word of God. 2 Timothy 4:2, teach the word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. We are to teach the Bible. And so if you have the gift of teaching, you study the scripture and you communicate it. Make your focus the word of God. Not about the word of God, but teach the word of God. That's the key. So if you have this gift, you already know it. You say, oh, I love to study. I love to study. And you desire to teach. And when you teach, it's effective. And people come up and say, that's the first time I've ever seen that. Thank you for putting that together. Now, there's a warning that goes with this. And let me give it to you here. Because a lot of people say, well, I'd like to teach. I'd like to do that. James chapter 3, verse 1 says, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. You have the gift of teaching and you have the responsibility to teach. You better study, you better put it together, and you better teach it accurately and clearly because you're going to receive a stricter judgment because what you teach people better be right. Because people listen to you and they think you're right. You say, this is what this passage says. And it better be what that passage says and it better be in that context and it better be fitting together. If not, you're going to stand before God one day and say, you weren't taking those passages accurately. You didn't study them accurately. You didn't take the time to dig it. You didn't know what it really said before you started teaching. And we got to do that. So if you have this gift, let me tell you, we're looking for teachers. We're trying to do some expanding on some of our Sunday schools and our small group ministries. And if you think that you got the gift of teaching, you want to teach, you come see me because we're fixing to put people in. Now, in our church, you need the 412 and the 22 so that we're all on the same page. But if you think you have this gift, we're going to find places for you. And by the way, it is just as important and vital to teach young people as it is to teach older people. Somebody said, well, I don't want to teach junior high. Why not? Why not? They're the leaders of tomorrow. You can help shape this world. I don't want to go teach in Awana. Why not? So if you got the gift of teaching, you know, you use that and you teach. We got one more. And that's exhortation. Sometimes it's called encouragement, found in Romans 12:8, where it says, or he who exhorts in his exhortation. And the word that is translated exhortation and encouragement is parakaleo. Para means beside, and kaleo means to call. It means the one who is called beside, and we say the one who's called alongside to help. So that's what that word means. It's the one who is called alongside to help. Sometimes it's to beseech, to call alongside to help, to be there to encourage, to be there to exhort. These are the people that are there to pick you up. I tell you this, and you've heard me say it many times. I've been here almost 22 years. There have been some times that without people, if people had not had the gift of encouragement, if they had not come alongside me and helped me, there's no telling if I'd still be in the ministry. God brings people in our lives to come alongside to help. There was a time that there was a really tough thing happening, and I was really discouraged. And the guy's no longer here. His name is Jim Meisinger. He was head of the Army ROTC, and then he's gone. He's gone other places now. He and his wife, Shannon, was here, and his kids, and I loved him. And I was struggling. I was pretty down. Things were not the way they should be. And he called me, and he said, you got lunch plans? I went, no, I really don't. I was fixing to say, oh, I don't want to eat lunch. I don't want to do nothing. And he said, come on, let's go eat lunch. And we went to eat lunch. And he came alongside that day. And you know what he said to me? He said, don't you let up one bit on teaching the Scripture. And don't you let anything that happens stop you from teaching the Word. And after that day, I was changed again. I was back going, hey, let's get in here and let's do this. And there are people that God brings in our lives. In Acts chapter 4, there's a guy named Barnabas, which his name means son of consolation. And when Paul trusted Christ, and then after a while he came down to Jerusalem, and he had been the persecutor, and he comes in and says, hey, I'm here. And you know what they said? Yeah, thanks a lot. We don't even trust you. We don't believe you. You're nothing. And he was all messed up. And so Barnabas, the son of consolation, the son of encouragement, comes alongside him and says, hey, this man's for real. Let's help him. Let's get with him. And he did it. And he's the guy that they sent up to some different places, and he encouraged them in Acts 15. He's the one that took John Mark with him and encouraged him. That's what he did. That's the gift of encouragement. This person not only edifies, but encourages action. Sometimes they even point out wrong, and we'll talk more about it in just a second. But they encourage us. They encourage us to do right. They encourage us to keep going. They are there beside us. I still can see that dad come out of that stands and get with that guy, and he was helping his son get down that track. And there are people spiritually who have helped all of us go down that track. And that's what God uses them for. That's why you have the gift. And if you think you've got the gift of encouragement, just use it. Look for it. And you will. You'll be looking for places where you can come alongside to help. When we think about the word in the New Testament, it means a couple of things. First of all, it can mean comfort. In 1 Thessalonians 4:18, it says, comfort one another with these words. The word is encourage one another with these words. Sometimes these people just come, and what they do is they're there for you. And you may be going, I'm so messed up. Don't worry. I'm right here, man. We're going to make it. You're going to make it. You can do it. It's the comfort that is there. The second way it's used sometimes is encouragement. And sometimes, like in Romans 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, I encourage you, brethren. That's the word. That's the same aspect. And it has that idea of encouragement. And let me tell you, there's both a positive and a negative to it. First of all, there's a positive, which is the encouragement like, you can do it. In 2 Timothy 4:2, when he says, preach the word, it says, preach the word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, encourage. That's the word. And it's positive. It's the idea of, you can do it. I know you can. We're beside you. This gift also can have some negative aspect to it. And what I mean negative is, it's the person that might come up to you and go right to your face and say, you know that's wrong and you need to get that straight. This is the person that doesn't mind confrontation. Now, I don't like, you like confrontation? Most people don't like confrontation. But if you got the gift of encouragement, you go, I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I mean, when somebody's wrong and they need somebody to help them get right, I don't mind going to them and saying, hey, look, I'm behind you all the way, but you know, you got to get this straight. And this is the person with that gift. And so sometimes it's real positive, like, you can do it, keep on. It is also sometimes to say, you're wrong, you need to stop it, and you need to get going right. It's where Paul writes in 1 Corinthians where he says, I exhort these believers to get along and that there be no division. When he said exhort, it's the same word, but he's getting on to them and he's saying, you guys get right. Sometimes we need somebody to come right up to us and go, you got to get right. You know that, don't you? And you go, okay. I know it. This gift keeps us going. We all need somebody at some time in our lives to encourage us, to pick us up, to challenge us, to confront us, to keep us going. If you have the gift of encouragement, come alongside. Help people. You're there to comfort. You're there to encourage. You're there to exhort. You're there maybe to confront. You're there to help other people make it. Greatly needed in our world, because see what our world does is it tears us down. When we go out from this place into this fallen world, it's going to tear you down. It's going to tell you everything that's wrong. It's going to say that you don't measure up. You don't look like you ought to. You don't have the things you ought to have. You're not smart as you need to be. And everything just tears you down. And we all need somebody to say, you're okay. You are fine. You're just the way God made you, and you're gifted yourself, and you can be used by God. And we all need somebody to build us up. I thank the Lord for the people who have the gift of encouragement. Well, this evening, we've seen three more gifts. And take a look at your life. Does this describe you? The gift of helps, the gift of service? That you usually want to do things behind the scenes. You want to get things done. You just show up and you do things and you look for things. And it's just a natural idea that you say, oh, I'll go help put that stuff up. Or I'll help get ready for vacation Bible school. Or I'll go move this stuff out of the kitchen. Or I'll help set up for a fellowship supper. Or I'll just show, you know, and you're just doing those things. How about this one? Do you desire to study the Word and communicate it? Can you hardly wait? That when you're sitting and somebody else is teaching, you're going, I wish I was teaching. I wish I was teaching. Why am I sitting back here and they're up there? Why does that happen? I need my own study. I need to get to teach. You got that gift. Teach. Do it. Use your gift. And finally, do you have exhortation? Do you want to come alongside and help people? Do you just see them and you just say, I'm there for you. And you're there to help them. We need these gifts. Look at your life. What are your gifts? Maybe these are some of the gifts that you have. Let me give you application, and then we'll open up for any questions you might have. The first one is, let's keep on studying the gifts. Now, you might pick one of these up, take it home, look at the verses, go through them and say, okay, how do these fit? What did they say? If you said, I don't know what he said about apostles, prophecy, wisdom, knowledge, discernment, I didn't see him. You can go to the website. Matt Roberts puts everything on. As soon as this one's through and fixed, he'll get it on the website. So you can go back and listen to the different statements about what we said about these other gifts, and you can look at them. Keep on studying the gifts, know what they are, and know how they function. Gain an understanding of our gifts and use your gifts. That's the key. So know the gifts, know what your gifts are, and use your gifts within the body of Christ. There's a second application, and that's be ready to help others. If you have the gift of helps, be ready to help. If you have that gift, look for the places. Look for you can serve. Most of the time, nobody's going to have to ask you. You're just already doing it. But we need people to step forward with the different gifts, talents, and abilities, especially, let's say, the gift of helps, to do and help in the ministries. Third, let's pass on God's word to one another. Now, all of us in this room have the responsibility to know the Scripture and to help others understand it. But some of you are gifted. Some of you love to study. Some of you just put it together. And when you teach, people go, that's it. Yeah, I see it. So do it. Dig the word. Study to show yourself to prove. The workman need not be ashamed. Handling accurately, rightly dividing the word of God. Take what you've been taught and pass it on to others so they can do the same thing. Finally, let's lift up one another. Now, whether we have the gift of exhortation or encouragement or not, all of us should look around and say, how can I build people up? The world tears them down. How can I build them up? For you that have that gift, you don't even have to be asked. You're just looking for the opportunities. It just comes and you look for people. But may we as believers edify one another, encouraging one another. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, may we encourage one another. And that's the key. So this evening, may we use the gifts that God has given us to build up the body of Christ. Those with helps, serve one another. Those with teaching, teach the word. Those with exhortation, edify and build up and encourage one another. May we do it. Let's pray and we'll open up for any questions or something you might have. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you have given to the body of Christ, that we can take the gifts that you've given us and use them, that we are equipping the believers to do the ministry, to build up the body of Christ. And Lord, I just pray that if anyone has the gift of helps, that they will use it. They will serve. They will step forward and look for the opportunities and be there and be used by you. Lord, we know they're the backbone because they can serve in any ministry. Please use them, Lord, in this body. Lord, if anyone has the gift of teaching, I pray, Lord, they'll step forward and they'll say, I want to teach. And they'll continue to study and they'll continue to put it together and they'll teach accurately the Word of God. And finally, if those have the gift of exhortation, that they may edify and build up and encourage and confront and help others, because we all need somebody there to help us. Thank you, Lord, for these gifts. Use us, Lord, for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, questions, comments, anything about what we talked about tonight? Yeah, I see you up there in the balcony. Okay. I think that's a great question, and I didn't bring that issue up. How does a person's aspect of being in fellowship, how does that affect their desire to use their gifts? That's the question. I think that when you're out of fellowship and you have sin in your life and you're living in the power of the flesh, the Bible tells in Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8, that the flesh cannot please God and is in opposition to God. So if God wants you, whatever gifts you have, to exercise those gifts, and you're out of fellowship with God, you are not going to have the desire to do those gifts. In fact, you're going to do just the opposite, because the flesh is contrary to God and cannot please God. So when we're talking about serving God, we're naturally assuming that you have confessed any sins in your life, you're walking, living according to the Scripture and living in the power of the Holy Spirit, then you will have the desire to exercise the gifts that you have. So that's a great question, because if you're not in fellowship with God, you could say, well, I don't feel like doing anything. That's right. You don't, because you feel like fulfilling the flesh. We've all been there. We're all there a lot, truthfully. Does that help any? Thanks. What else? Any other questions, comments, anything? Well, if you have the gift of helps, please help. If you have the gift of teaching, please teach. And you have the gift of exhortation, stay out of my face. No, if you have the gift of if you have the gift of exhortation, encourage people and do what's best. Okay. No other questions, comments? All right, thanks. Thanks for coming.